This is Brew Crime, a craft beer and true crime podcast.
I'm Mike.
I'm Beck.
And I'm Nina.
And we're your hosts.
We pair a true crime story with a craft beer.
That Nina will probably hate.
Yeah, probably.
Whatever. You can find our show on all your favorite podcast apps, and if you can't find it, contact us, and we'll try and change that.
We can be found at brewcrime.com or on all social media platforms at brewcrime.
Join us as we discuss the horrible crimes that surround us and try not to giggle.
My name is Paige, and you're listening to Reverie True Crime. Please stay tuned until the end for your Patreon shoutouts and to learn more about the Patreon. In today's episode, I'll be comparing the movie A Nightmare on Elm Street to the real events that inspired the movie. How much of it is based on reality? Can nightmares be a cause of death? Let's get started. The first Nightmare on Elm Street film was released in 1984 and written and directed by Wes Craven. The movie is based around the fictional character, a psycho named Fred Krueger. Robert Englund plays Krueger in these films, and he's absolutely phenomenal. The character Fred was known to everyone as the Springwood Slasher. He killed a few kids wearing a glove that had razor blades for fingers. The judge actually lets Fred go free, and the parents of the children that he slaughtered burned him alive at his job in the boiler room. Years go by, and the children of these parents that were still living, which includes a girl named Nancy, start having these horrendous nightmares that involved a man with burns all over his face, and the gloves with razor blades for fingers, a striped red and green sweater, and his filthy brown fedora. His spirit tortures them in their dreams, even murdering some of them. Nancy, who was the daughter of one of the cops who arrested Fred, starts having violent nightmares, and so do her friends. All of these terrifying reveries have one thing in common: Freddy Krueger. One of Nancy's friends falls asleep, has one of these violent nightmares, and is killed by Freddy Krueger in the dream and dies in real life. The group of friends finally get it. If they die in their nightmares, they die in real life, too. Nancy decides that she will not go to sleep and instead try to figure out what's going on with these gruesome, murderous nightmares and find a way to stop Freddy. So, how does it compare with the true story? What actually inspired this movie? Sourcing from GroovyHistory.com, WickedHorror.com, and ScreenRant.com, there were a lot of LA Times articles that Wes Craven was inspired by to make the movie. At the time, in the early 1980s, the articles were diving into the very odd and mysterious sleep deaths which were occurring mostly to Asian men all around the country. They would die brutally as they were sleeping. Before some of the men passed away, they said they would never go back to sleep. Some of them didn't realize anything was terribly wrong and would go to sleep and die. This really upset their families, and it sparked a curiosity in Wes Craven to make this film. He found out that most of these men escaped the killing fields of Cambodia, where the Cambodian Communist ruling party carried out the most terrifying and grotesque mass murders of the 20th century. There's actually a lot of real events that inspired Wes Craven. One being when he was little, and he recalled an elderly man strolling down the path that was beside his window, and he was staring at Wes in a creepy way. Young Wes hopped backwards to hide when he saw the old man look intently at him, but he eventually slinked his way back to the window to peep outside. As he shifted his eyes down towards the ground, the old man was staring in the shadows, seemingly trying to scare Wes. This event, whether the old man was pulling a prank or not, haunted Wes Craven for years, even when he was an adult. He wondered what in the world goes on in someone's mind that they would drop everything they're doing just to terrorize a child. That's where Freddy's character originated from. The name Fred Krueger also has a specific meaning behind it, as that was the name of Wes Craven's bully as a child. Wes also factored in the cognizance of stranger danger. Everyone was terrified that pedophiles and sexual predators in general might be prowling around in what they thought were their safe and sheltered little neighborhoods. This awareness only really started to increase in the 1980s. Wes Craven was also intrigued by the fact that people were brutally passing away while sleeping, and nobody could really explain why. A lot of articles do talk about a medical condition that some of these men were said to have, but at the same time, it can't be proven that the medical condition is what caused the deaths. One of the families were said to have run away from Asia to America. They got away from the awful cruelty and carnage, but their son was having ghastly nightmares where he was being pursued by something or someone. Wes Craven told Vulture magazine, quote, "He told his parents he was afraid that if he slept, the thing chasing him would get him, so he tried to stay awake for days at a time. When he finally fell asleep, his parents thought the crisis was over. Then they heard screams in the middle of the night. By the time they got to him, he was dead. He died in the middle of a nightmare." End quote. They also found a coffee pot under this boy's bed. He would sneak pots of coffee into his room, chugging the caffeine, also hiding his sleeping pills that his mother would give to him, and he would do anything to keep himself awake. But it's nearly impossible to stay awake forever. Plus, sleep deprivation causes your body to break down, you can get really high blood pressure, have a heart attack, heart failure, or even a stroke. So this was a situation where he couldn't win either way, and sleep snuck up on the child like a thief in the night. In Japan and the Philippines, mostly younger, completely healthy young adult males were passing away while they were sleeping. Usually, they would let out a scream or a gasp before they died. The doctors had no clue as to why this was, but it seemed to be a more regular occurrence in young men who came from Japan or the Philippines, and doctors in the U.S. had no idea what was actually happening. The L.A. Times wrote that the Japanese do call this event pakuri, and that means piercing. So, what does this piercing mean? Well, it essentially comes down to the death being a sudden snap or slicing feeling, a possible deadly heart attack. A doctor of Tokyo Metropolitan Medical Examiner's Office told the LA Times, quote, "It's not a matter of the heart being good or bad. They seem to be dying of heart failure, but we can only guess about the cause." End quote. In 1980, around 80 men died from this piercing just in Tokyo. Japan itself assessed that there were 500 males that died from this mysterious illness. It's believed that almost 1,000 men passed away from the piercing in a year, but that's only a belief and there's no stats to really back that up. What we do know for certain is that back in the 80s, there wasn't a way to know the stress levels that these young men could have been dealing with, but they figured it had to be something involving the heart as a reasonable explanation. One man who actually lived through the snap developed ventricular fibrillation. That's when the heart contracts and doesn't make normal beats. However, he did have surgery, and the doctors found absolutely nothing that indicated this man had a heart attack. There were no signs whatsoever. Allegedly, the Filipino people said these deaths were Bangungut syndrome. which means nightmare syndrome. One widow said that she wished they had never even came to America because she believed the culture shock was the reason her husband died during a nightmare. Now, there's another theory. Some people tend to have the belief that their ancestors were killing them in their sleep as punishment because they so-called abandoned their homeland for the United States. The official name that was given to these events by medical authorities in America was Asian Death Syndrome. What horrifies people the most about the snap or piercing is that there's no rock-solid proof to back it up. So, if this is happening through nightmares, there's no way to even prove it. Now, we have to ask ourselves, is a nightmare on Elm Street possibly more real than we ever really imagined? Is there something that could happen in our nightmares that is so insidious, so devilishly crafty, that it could terrify us to the point of dying in our sleep? Or could it be that these men were dying from the stress of making it out of gas attacks by the North Vietnamese? Even though Wes Craven has since passed away, he is definitely an icon of film, and he has managed to scare us all shitless. I say that's a job well done. Before I go, I want to say thank you to my patrons who, at the time of this recording, are Denise, Kara, Lorraine, Emily, Trevor, Madeline, and Melissa. Thank you so much for supporting me and the podcast. If you'd like to join the Patreon for $3 a month, I'd love to have you. That's at patreon.com/reverietruecrime. And if you sign up before November or December, I'm pausing payments for both of those months because every dollar counts during the holidays. If you do sign up in November, Patreon will charge you the $3, but you won't have to pay in December. Over on the Patreon, I've got some bonus episodes, stickers, cards to mail out, photos that pertain to the episodes, polls that you guys get to vote on for Patreon exclusives, and so much more. So you can come hang out over there and get everything ad-free way before it comes out on the podcast. You can also opt out at any time, and it won't hurt my feelings, I promise. So guys, until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, have sweet dreams, and I love you.